The following program contains scenes and language of a frank and explicit nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
Coming to you live from the Geek.io studios, we're clogging your inner tubes full of nerds. This is the Geek.io show. With your hosts, CJ and Rachel Boat, Jared Azevedo, with mad support from our producer, John Slater, and Jared Budlong, a proud member of the AWPA Network.
Welcome to Geek.io, episode 25, my chair squeaking really loud, recorded Wednesday, the 31st of July, 2013. I am not CJ Boat, I am Jared Budlong.
I'm Jared Azevedo, the quiet chair.
Yeah. Hey, I'm John Slater.
Loud noises!
Joining us this week, boss man of the AWPA Network. Oh, see, you jumped the gun because I paused. That's my bad.
He stepped on his intro. He left the space there. Okay, he took the leap. You can't blame him.
What? Boss man of the AWPA Network. Ultimate brony, hoity-toity Disney geek, the man who has fired CJ more than CJ has fired Slater from a wild podcast appears, Jose Casillo.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, I'm famous.
Hooray!
Hooray. Woo. Yay.
Yay!
Listen, I have not fired CJ that many times. I mean, I count him on a few hands. Yeah. That's all right.
Fair enough, fair enough. So maybe the number of times he's fired, how it stacks.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, good heavens.
Wow, we plugged that way too many times.
We do
no
what we can.
Thing is too many. So you are technically affiliated with us, but for those of you, because you haven't been on the show before, for those of us who don't know enough about you, give us a couple, a brief Jose in a box. A tiny square box.
You don't put Jose in a box.
No, I'm bigger than most boxes. But, I think you gave it away. My intro, I'm a brony / Disney / Apple geek. All of that wrapped up into one box. And, I've been doing this, I've been doing podcasting and stuff for a good 6-7 years now. I started with WDW News Today, which is a Disney website, and in fact, that's how sort of CJ and I met, because he knew about that website, and when I started AWPA, he was like, oh, how did you get into all this? I'm like, oh, I started with WWNT, get out of here, I listen to your podcast every week. I'm like, I'm so sorry. sort of how we met, and then, now we're here. I started AWPA 2 years ago, or not 2 years ago, a year and 9 months ago, now here we are, doing this. So, it gets fun.
Well, it's actually a ton of fun. I didn't realize that you had been doing podcasting that long, so that's awesome to have a partnership with people who have a ton more experience. Obviously, that brings in some great stuff, so... I don't know if I've never thanked you, so thank you.
Thank you. Oh, no, thank you guys.
I think we've only talked like 3 times, so.
Sure. No, yeah, you guys do a great job over here, so.
Awesome. Well, if you don't have anything else that you want to either pimp,
I have one more thing, which
about,
is actually,
sure.
One more thing, which is actually a pretty new and hasn't really made it public yet. And that is, I write for a Disney website. I write for a technology gaming website. So out of my fandoms and my communities, there's only one thing left that I don't really write a lot about, and that is the pony community. And so starting very soon, I will be writing for a major brony website called Everfree.
Are you telling
Everfree
me we just
Network.
Got an inside scoop?
Yes, you did get an inside scoop.
Woo, scoop.
Sweet.
You heard it here first, people.
Yes, I will be writing for Everfree Network, which they're launching a news portion of their site, and this is a huge multimedia network. And so I've been writing articles already for the last couple of days, and It's launching really, really soon. I can't tell you when. Keep an eye out on our Twitters. You'll know soon. You'll know very, very soon.
Which Twitter should the people be looking at?
Well, you can either follow my personal, which is at KryptonLogic, KryptonLogic. You can follow AWOL Podcast, and I'm sure CJ will retweet it on Geek.io when I make the announcement. So
CJ retweets everything with our
yes,
podcast,
he does.
So
pretty much,
that's fine.
Occasionally, you know, I'll write something like, oh, I just went to the bathroom and I got retweeted by Geek.io. I'm like, oh, why? You know.
Yeah. Yay.
Oh, Geek.io, he just likes to pimp everybody.
Of course.
Yeah.
He's the
even your poop.
Ultimate re-pimper. Pimp your pimp.
What?
Until you pimp. Until your pimp is pimped. Until you can't pimp
he,
anymore.
He takes a hint from Exhibit. He can't help it.
Pimping.
Yeah, he pimps that ride.
He pimps that dog. Tweet. Who pimps pimp, pimp rides.
I heard you like tweets, so I'm going to retweet your tweet if you retweet my tweet.
And then I'll retweet the retweet of a retweet. It's fine.
Yes.
And do it the old school way, so you see like all the names in a row with RT in front of it.
Eventually you run out of characters, and there's not really a message, it's just users. Yep.
And they're using Twitlonger, or whatever it was, Tweetlonger.
Yes.
The thing where you can get more than 140 characters. Uh-huh. Wow, throwback. I'm sure that doesn't exist anymore, because Twitter hates third-party developers.
Yes, they do. It also defeats a purpose if you're writing a 500-letter tweet.
So. Yes, yes. that was people trying to use Twitter for, well, I guess you can use it for whatever you want, so I can't really, can't really diss on it. Never mind. With that being said...
Gadgets, games, and gizmos! Pew, 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 pew,
pew. Oh, it's that part of the show where we talk about the stuff we've been doing for the past week. So, because, good God, John, it looks like you've had a busy week.
Let
you go first. No, yeah. No, it's just I just looked at it. I looked down and it was like, oh my gosh, he wrote a novel.
Just about. Certainly learning how to write in English class. It's doing something.
Right.
So watched a couple movies that have recently come out for SmackDown, our summer movie SmackDown that we're doing on Geek.io. Pacific Rim, I gave that one an 8 out of 10 for Tito's. I kind of wish it had just a little bit more in-depth backstory about, no big spoiler, but kind of like about the aliens. So just kind of leave it at that. You got to see it for yourself. So 8 out of 10 on the Tito's, pretty good. Went to go see Wolverine last week on Friday. Day came out. Didn't see the midnight premiere, but saw it after school and stuff. Hardly anybody in the movie theater. I was kind of surprised for Wolverine. I'm like, did everybody already see it, or what's going on? So went and watched it. Sad to say, had to give it 1 out of 10 for the Tito scale rating. I actually fell asleep through some of it. So it was pretty brutal. Does not live up to the expectations as far as what I was hoping from Hugh Jackman as far as acting-wise and character development-wise. It's like, dude, I've already seen this before in the last Wolverine movie. Like, at least bring a little bit of something new. Not going to completely spoil it here, but wait towards the end for a cameo from Magneto and Professor X. And I believe that leads into a whole another new movie. So, yeah, you have to see it for yourself. My Xbox 360 has been sold to my friend Dan. I was looking for some pocket money school because things are getting kind of tough right now, especially with me having not had work. But now that I'm working through a temp agency, it is always pretty good. Having money games, well, a couple of games anyway, 360 along with the Kinect. He wanted... Xbox 360 exclusive games, like the only games that you could get only for the Xbox 360. So I gave him like all my Halo games, I gave him Fable 3, and I think that's really all he wanted. So I was like, okay, well, I took the rest of the games, went down to GameStop in Covington, where I live, and traded them all in for credit. I figured, what can I get for cash versus credit? And the guy goes, well, I can give you $50 cash, or I can give you close to $300 in credit. And I said, I'll take the credit, please. So I took the credit and got a whole bunch of new stuff. Wow. I picked up Borderlands 2 due to CJ's suggestion because I've got Borderlands 1 and really like that game. So looking forward to figuring out what Borderlands 2 has in store for me. I'm a big Skyrim fan with Elder Scrolls, so I picked up a Skyrim Legendary Edition, which has all the DLC on one disc. and I can play it whenever I want, so I loaded all that way. Pretty cool. And then I had all the Mass Effect games before for the Xbox 360, but hey, Sony has them all bundled together in a Mass Effect trilogy, so I have them all, and hopefully I'll get around to actually playing them, because I've never beaten the first one, but I liked the story when I was playing it. I also picked up the Grand Theft Auto 4 Best Of game for like $19.99 on credit. So it's got the actual game and all the additional content all bundled up together. And then thanks to Brandy Bennett, a good friend of mine on Google+, she recommended that I go ahead and I pick up the Devil May Cry series, which I, sad to say, have never actually played before. Tried to play the first one a little bit, like 2 minutes into it, and I'm like, this is confusing, and I don't understand the controls, and blah, blah, blah. But of course, I was playing like way back in the day on PS2, and having a PS3 now is a little bit better. So yeah, I got the Devil May Cry HD series, which has 1 through 3, so I've yet to play that. Hopefully tonight I'll get in at least a little bit of time to where I can actually do that. And then I find that barely finding time on the weekends to play games due to school kind of sucks. But that's life, and that's kind of school. So
yeah, that happens.
Kind of,
you should try games when you have a child.
Tell
me about
it. Wait till that day.
We'll get into that one. I have 2 A's, though. Sad to say, but I have 2 A's in my critical thinking class on the papers I turn in for homework. Evidently, both of my professors, one from critical thinking and from English comp, know each other really well, and in fact, they've been sharing my papers back and forth going, this guy writes better than some of my other students in my Tuesday class. And I'm going, so if I get an A in both of your classes, what can I expect here? And they go, well, you can expect a pretty big scholarship. And I was going, woo-hoo, I'm looking forward to that. So Sweet. Less money, the better. And then for the fun of it, because somebody suggested I take a look at these photos, I've been doing some personal research on budlongphotography.com.
And taking a look at what... That's crazy.
Yeah, and taking a look at what Jared has in store. Some friends of mine in my classroom, actually, and I'm kind of surprised that they listen to the show.
Oh, okay. I was like, how the... Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
They listen to the show.
Thanks, guys.
And quite a few of them are from Alabama, and I'm like, well, let me go ahead and take a look and figure out what the heck Bud Long's been doing with his professional and career life. So I took a look, and I'm sad to say, I kind of wish I was in Alabama so I could get some session photos done, especially with the cosplays I've done. I'm sure they'd look a lot better than some of the amateur crap I've been doing with, like, self-photography and holding, you know, stupid iPod Touch going, yeah, that's a great idea. Doesn't look good at all.
Yeah.
It's like MySpace pictures all over again. That's not fun.
Maybe we'll work something out one day.
That's pretty much all I've been doing. Maybe. So, yeah, that's all I've been doing.
That's all? Just that's it, huh?
Just
a little bit.
That and homework.
Just a little bit.
A bunch of homework. Just a little bit.
Clearly, you're not doing enough.
No. If you have that much time to watch those movies and play the games you got to play, you're not busy enough. Clearly.
Probably right. Yeah, clearly.
Hey, but you're doing something right. You've got A's and teachers offering you, well, not offering you scholarships yet, but saying if things continue well, you could get scholarships. So you're doing something
right. As long as I maintain that A average, I will be getting that scholarship, yeah.
Awesome.
Scholarships is good. Scholarships is money.
Less money, the better.
Heck yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Agreed.
Student debt.
So I guess we're going to link to... that's just a random picture for for Pinkie Pie, I guess. Okay. Never mind. That was
I had nothing to do with that picture.
I bet. That's all right. It'll be there for all to see.
I'm going to choose Jose Ghost goes next. What has Jose been up to?
Wait, that's not even Pinkie Pie. That's Rainbow Dash. Anyways, sorry.
Oh, oops.
Oh.
I don't know who did that. But whoever it was is going to hear it later. What have I been doing?
The picture?
Yeah, the picture that was pasted there is not Pinkie Pie, ladies and gentlemen. It is Rainbow Dash. And like.
Yeah, I copied and I pasted that in. It's just because your buddy does awesome work, and he was talking about EverQuest Daily and doing some sort of art stuff for them and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that looks awesome. So,
yep. He's very talented. What have I been doing? Well... Frankly, like in terms of games and movies, I've been a really bad person because I haven't had the chance to recently. But because, you know, I've been working on so many new projects and an ever expanding network, but whatever. So I have been playing Minecraft, which is ironic because I really disliked the game when it first came out, and I tried playing it for a while and I couldn't get into it. And then recently, we got some media credentials for the website to go to MineCon, which is in Orlando, which is the Minecraft convention that takes place every year in November. And so because we got invited to come along, it was sort of a, well, I guess I should probably play this game and know what I'm getting myself into when I go there. So I start playing. Now, right? Let me just go there. What is this? What is a creeper? What is this? What are you talking about? So I start playing, and I've been playing almost every night for like the last week and a half, 2 weeks, Survivor Mode with a couple of friends. So it's been fun to do that. Movies, I did go see Pacific Rim last week. Just like, you know, John was saying, it was a really excellent movie without spoiling it too much. I'm really excited to hear that they're making a second one. It was announced that they're making Pacific Rim 2.
I would expect so.
Yeah. So that's happening. And then what else? Well, I've been playing Animal Crossing New Leaf, though. I'm going to be honest. I've been really bad at it. I don't think I've visited my town in a couple of days, so probably things are dying and people are gonna hate me.
They're poor animal villagers.
I know.
Be so disappointed.
It looks like such a fun game too.
It is. You're gonna come back to something that's essentially Pompeii. You just got people invested in ash. I was only gone for 4 days.
Animal Crossing
has changed.
It's fun, but still time consuming. It's one of those games that just requires your full attention, like, all the time, and so that just, it's really difficult for me to be able to give my time to that. What else? That's it. That really is it. Like, in terms of gizmos and gaming, I bought an Ouya. Is that exciting?
Did you
awesome.
Buy any games on
the only person.
I bought an Ouya. I may not have bought any games on it yet.
I asked because there was some stat that came out that said like 75% of people with Ouyas didn't buy games. So
we posted that article today too, and it was like, it was like 75% of gamers don't buy any games on Ouya. So I reached out to Ouya for comment, and they haven't replied.
So well, I mean, it's only been out for like a month or so. How long has it been out?
It's been out for about a month. It got delayed a lot, and it's been troublesome. But it's new, and I think it has a lot of potential. I think that people are judging it really quickly based on this is a beta. It's a beta hardware, you know. Yeah. It's running and it's running Android, so you know. So it's like it's never going to be stable completely. So I've been doing that. I got an Ouya. I was convinced. So that's all I'm doing in terms of gaming and gizmos and gadgets and whatever the segment, gizmos, gadgets, and
it's in games. Like, it's anything you've been doing in the past week, really. And since you're a guest, it's pretty much anything you've been doing in the past, I don't know, month. Like, pick something interesting you've been doing.
Does going to a convention count?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, then I'm going to a convention next week in Anaheim, California. I'm going to the Disney D23 Expo, so I'll be there covering all the awesome Marvel stuff, the movies. They're going to have Star Wars. They're supposed to announce a lot of Star Wars stuff for episode 7.
The details for the... Okay, cool.
Yeah. And as well as new TV shows where I have some interviews with Lauren Foss and Craig McCracken on their new show, Wander Over Yonder. So I have a couple of things I'm working on over there. I'll be there for a whole week, plus visit Disneyland. I cannot go to Anaheim and not go to Disneyland, so...
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, you're there.
It's like right across the street, literally. So... I'll be there. So that's what I'll be doing. So just, again, follow the tweets and the Twitters for that information.
And always visit awpa.co for constant updates on everything on the internet.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
Exactly. So the custom here typically is that whoever talks about their past week picks the next person to go. So you got the two Jareds. Pick one.
I pick Jared A.
Jared A.
Stupid alphabetical order every time.
Every time. It's not as great as it sounds, because you usually get, I always get stuck at the front of the class back when I'm in elementary school. It's rough. But, no, you would be pretty close to the front. There's not, I mean,
yeah,
B,
yeah.
Right there. So, well, last week I was on vacation, so I didn't do a whole lot of stuff other than hanging out at the beach, trying to avoid the sun, because I'm a pale, pasty computer geek who doesn't like the sun, but, you know, my daughter wants to play on the beach, the family's there, we gotta do what we must. But, she did take a, like, 2-hour nap in the middle of the day every day, so I would take her back to the condo and, watch her while she, you know, made sure everything was cool while she was sleeping and play Zelda. And that's pretty much all the gaming I got to do. And I'm so close to beating Link to the Past. I'm at like the second to last dungeon, and I'm done. But while we were there, Katie's cousin's daughter, I don't know what that makes her. Second cousin?
Sure.
I don't know. She's 3. And, you know, to entertain her and my 1-year-old, they had, like, Nick Jr. and Disney Jr. on all freaking day long. So I watched an obscene amount of children's programming that I had never...
I am so sorry.
See, I watch a show with ponies, but at least it's intelligent. I've seen some other shows on the channel, and it's pretty bad.
Yeah, like, I didn't even know what Bubble Guppies or Princess Sophia was before this week.
Oh, you don't
want
to know.
I am well-versed in both of those things now.
Bubble Guppies?
But, I found that the one... It's... Oh, God, it's terrible. But the one show that will hold my 1-year-old's attention is Curious George, because he's a monkey.
Yes.
And monkeys are awesome.
Yeah.
Please tell me. Okay, wow, we're about to
and
get into kid shows.
That actually pretty awesome.
Have you seen the movie really with the elephant, by any chance?
I liked Curious... The what?
The movie with the
Curious George and the monkey. I don't want to spoil it for you, but he accidentally kidnaps an elephant that's a part of a magician's show, and he does it while the show is going on, so the elephant disappears without the magician needing it to. It's pretty funny.
Anyway. We've been watching a lot of Curious George because that's what she likes, and it's a very bearable show. I like it a lot. It actually is very well done. So thanks, Ron Howard and William H. Macy, for giving us a children's show that's not horrible.
Yes.
And that's pretty much all I've been doing. So, hoorah.
I wonder who goes
next. Oh, isn't Curious George's voice Frank Welker? Did I make that up?
No, you have it right.
As in Optimus Friggin' Prime?
Yes, Optimus Friggin' Prime.
So great.
That's pretty fantastic, I won't lie.
That's the same guy making little monkey noises.
That's great.
I love it.
That's so good. So I guess that leaves me.
So you're up,
evidently,
no.
I have been explaining to my son Josiah that the black tablet in the house is not Daddy's. It's actually his.
Such
I got
a great
an HP
story.
Touchpad on the fire sale. So it was like $100, and I put Android on it, and I used that for a good, I guess, about a year. And then, you know, it's a little wonky still. It's not perfect. As Jose was talking about the Ouya, it's not perfectly stable, especially one that's, well, let me rephrase that. It's especially good for one that was ported over hardware that wasn't designed for Android in the first place. It actually is right. Really, really stable. But it still has weird issues. So I ended up buying a Asus or Asus, however you want to pronounce it, Transformer TF300T or something along those lines. And actually, you know, I started using it as my main tablet, and the other one just sat in the corner, dead battery, not using it, whatever. And then I was like, oh, I should stick that in the kitchen. So I stuck it in the kitchen, Velcroed it to the wall. I think I've talked about it in the past, but it's used for recipes and whatnot. And now Josiah is 2 and a couple months old, and he's getting to the point where he can actually understand a touchscreen device, which blows my mind. He actually knows how to unlock it and get to his games and pick the game he wants to play. It's kind of ridiculous. So it's now his tablet, but he still calls it Daddy's black tablet. So I'm trying to break him and let him know, like, it's yours, dude.
Why is it gonna be black, man?
Yeah, We're not going to touch it. my Transformer is red, so that's how he distinguishes the two. He's got there's a red tablet and a black tablet, and we're going to leave it at that. And then also, other than that, I've been playing some Fallout New Vegas DLC Lonesome Road, which I'm thoroughly getting into. I kind of like the Fallout games in general. I've played Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas most recently, obviously. Those are the ones that came out the most recent. But this is the first DLC for either of those, I think, that I've played. So Lonesome Road's been pretty good. Whole nother story arc.
So is Lonesome Road like DLC for Vegas, or is it for the original like Fallout 3?
It's for Vegas. Yeah, it's for New Vegas.
Oh, New Vegas is awesome, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've beat New Vegas. I just haven't gotten into the DLC on it except for Lonesome Road recently, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. So thank you for
something like the DLC.
I do have a correction to make. So I don't lose nerd points. Frank Welker is Megatron, not Optimus Prime.
Oh, my bad.
Sorry.
Ooh, okay.
My bad, everybody.
Thank you for correcting.
Shame on you guys for not catching it.
Yeah.
Dang it.
I don't know my voice.
But what is it's okay. I should know, but I kind of don't. I know one that I'm following right now on Twitter, and I'll get into that later. But what's Lonesome Road about?
I mean, I'm only probably 2 hours into it, so I don't have all the details, but basically your character, the courier, you have finished at this point all of the stuff that happened in New Vegas, and you find this passway that says, you know, courier number 6 ? And it basically gives you a huge warning. Hey, you can't bring any companions with you. Like, you're about to go on this journey that's about you, essentially. You're learning about your origins. And it gets pretty cryptic. Somebody takes over one of your robot companions that you get in that DLC and starts talking to you about your history. Like, he knows you really well, and it's very cryptic about who you are, which I have no idea yet, because if you haven't played the game, you lose your memory because you get shot, and then you get picked up and some old guy helps heal you, and then you start trying to earn money so you can try to figure out why you got shot and everything else, and we still don't have all the answers. But Lonesome Road is a way, I say it's a way, it is DLC pointing you towards your past, from what I can gather. Jose, if you can speak any more to that, that'd be great, because I'm literally dealing off 2 hours worth of knowledge.
Well, I honestly haven't played the DLC for New Vegas.
Okay.
I know a little bit about, like, pretty much what you stated is what I know. I haven't really dug into it because I don't want to spoil it, because I am going to play it eventually.
Right.
Eventually is the keyword there. You know, it's like, I'm trying to stay away, like, I beat Bioshock Infinite and now they're releasing DLC, so I'm trying to stay away from any spoiler. You know, obviously the biggest spoiler was sort of like, hey, you get to go back to Rapture. Like, thanks, guys, thanks. Right. But I guess it's not really a spoiler considering the title of the game. The title of the DLC is, you know, Return to Rapture. So, but yeah. No, I don't have much to add on, unfortunately.
I was going to let you take on, because that's literally all I know, because I've played 2 hours. So, and those games take forever. I think I have. Before the DLC, I think I had put 95 for just the game. So
yeah,
yep. No telling how
long it is. A very expensive game.
Yeah,
very expensive.
Yeah, I was trying to look it up to see they give you a better understanding than what I just said, but I don't see anything without giving away stuff that happens. Yeah, but if you have a game, give it out, give it a shot. The DLC is actually a lot of fun and adds new life to a game that I haven't played in probably 2 years, somewhere around there.
Yep.
Because it came out in 2011, roughly. So.
Remember when that game was buggy central? Every big bug that game had.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. It's been a couple of years, and I have a really bad memory in the first place, so I don't remember all of the other than like glitches of getting stuck in people. But I don't remember a lot of the major bugs other than sticking in people.
Yeah, there was stuck, and then I remember once I was playing it on my PS3, and I got to the actual city of New Vegas, and I went to open the gate for the first time, and it was loading, and I loaded into New Vegas, but I was actually stuck in between. The gate.
The two gates.
And the city. Geez. So it was like, what do I do? And then I shut it down, restart it, and I had to start. Like it took me back literally like 3 or 4 missions. And I was like, you son of a. It was the most ridiculous,
that's actually,
stupid
thing
ever.
That's why I stopped
ever.
Playing Mass Effect. It's my fault because I wasn't saving manually. I was relying on autosave. And I went to a planet that I probably shouldn't have because I just like to roam around and do things. And I got inside like a set of caverns and I got through like 4 doors and that's where it autosaved. And I was walking into a cavern with like 8 people who fully outarmed me. So in my last autosave was, I don't know, 4 hours back. And I was like, I didn't enjoy it that much to play that again. Like I couldn't go back and play those four hours again. So I just gave up on the game. I probably shouldn't have. And now that it's been 5 years or whatever it's been, I could probably go back and play it. But at the time I didn't want to waste another 4 hours to possibly get stuck somewhere else. Cause I always forget to save.
Mm, yep.
So
I know the feeling.
That's about it on me. So I'm just going to say CJ's been watching My Little Pony. He's not here to defend himself.
Is that what he's been doing, huh?
A surprisingly high level of My Little Pony, to be exact. I'm quoting the notes here.
Yeah, and I actually can vouch for this. It is there.
Okay. And then something about Shadowrun Returns. So that, and Rachel is a graduate. So congrats. We can all clap for that.
Yay!
Congratulations, Rachel.
Woo!
So I think... I'm trying to think if there's anything else we should cover before intermission, but I think that's it. Does anybody else have anything that I missed? Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess we've completed the level.
Yay!
We won the fight.
All right. So I think because of that, we are about to hit intermission time. So stick around for the break, and we will catch you guys in a bit.
It's intermission time. Time for that stretch you've been wanting. And best of all, time to take your pick from that scrumptious array of tasty treats waiting for you at the snack bar.
November 6, 2022. 10,000 lucky fans purchase a copy of Sword Art Online. A beta tester, Kirito, has been waiting for this for a long time.
Link, start!
This virtual reality game is a technological masterpiece.
This thing's amazing.
A world all its own. The only problem is...
where'd the logout button go?
Once these players are logged into Sword Art Online, there's no way for them to log out. Ever. And if they die in the game, they're dead for real.
We have to tell everyone that it is possible to beat this game.
Now these gamers must band together and defeat the final boss, or this game will be their last. Get ready for the series premiere of Sword Art Online next Saturday at 2 a.m.
This world can't beat me. I will survive.
Game over. Only Toonami on Adult Swim.
No!
This episode of Geek.io is brought to you by Tweaked Audio. 7 styles and 7 amazing colors designed for talk and music. Whether you prefer your headphones mic'd or non-mic'd, these bad boys come with an amazing lifetime warranty. Yeah, no kidding. Can you say that about your headphones?
No.
This company stands behind its product, and you should too. We use them here on Geek.io, and we love the out of these. Check them out at tweakedaudio.com and use the offer code GEEK to save 1/3 off your order and get free shipping. Again, use the offer code GEEK at checkout. Thanks for your support.
Hey, this is Willis for How It Stacks, where we watch and rate all the TV shows, movies, video games, toys, and music that you grew up with to see how they stack up as an adult.
Every 2 weeks, we get together, get drunk, and cover topics such as
Voltron,
the WWF,
Mega Man,
Escape from New York,
Escape from LA,
The Labyrinth,
and The Dark Crystal.
Tune in to How It Stacks on the Geek.io Podcast Network every 2 weeks, where we get shit-faced and talk about the nerdiest topics that can come to mind.
My name's Willis.
And I am JD for How It Stacks.
to the news. So some people have asked what's going on with the network, because there's been some changes. Some things are appearing. Some things are appearing. Some things are different. So here's what's going on. It's very simple. We're going back to basics. As you've been able to tell from our previous guests, or for our last guest for the next last couple of weeks, we've been going back to our roots. We've been going and exploring our Geek.io family and kind of just taking a step back. Unfortunately, some things have had to change. What those are, Geek.io Rant and Reviews, formerly was taking the place of the Geek.io show every other Wednesday. We are no longer going to be doing that. We are waiting for Dale and myself to work out our schedules. Until that happens, it is currently on hiatus. When it comes back, we will pick up right where we started. I believe we were watching Reservoir Dogs. So we're going to do that. And I think it'll work out really well because Dale is a great asset to that show. Now for the other Geek.io shows. Comic Geek.io is on indefinite hiatus. We were going to work out something with PJ from AWPA and John and myself, and schedules got hectic and life got hectic. So currently, until we can work out a static schedule, we are not going to be doing that show. I can guarantee it won't be at least until September, if not longer. I don't want to make it sound like it's going away because I love doing the show. But we need to work something out and work it out and set it in stone. And there are a lot of things in flux right now that are stopping that from happening. The next thing on the list is Disney Geek.io. Disney Geek.io is actually just going through a little bit of an upgrade. It's going to be back on August 18th, every other week still currently, with some big, 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 big changes. And it's really going to be awesome. And I know you're going to love it. So, again, Geek.io Show Prime, every Wednesday, 11 p.m. Eastern, geek-io.com/live. Geek.io Rant Reviews will be coming back soon with Reservoir Dogs. Disney Geek.io, re-premiering August 18th, 2013, at 10 p.m. Eastern, geek-io.com/live. Comic Geek.io is indefinite hiatus. With that note, I'm CJ Boat. And thank you for listening. I now return you back to your show.
So the second note is about Face. Google changes its mind about net neutrality. Evidently, their Google Fiber, I briefly read into it, and I'm glad I did. They have decided that you can't run anything they qualify as a server on their home internet. I just used bunny ear quotes for those of you listening to audio. You can't use their home internet fiber connection for server use, but they don't qualify what they mean by server. It basically is anything that's going to be serving up content. So it could be your personal cloud. It could be an actual server trying to run a web page. They basically don't care is what it looks like. So they used to be all about net neutrality and going, you know, it's your internet, do whatever you want. But now they're going to say, well, we're just going to do what everybody else does. So don't use it for servers. Which kind of sucks.
Sucks big time.
It's not that I was planning on doing that, but I mean, you know, Austin's not too far away, and it was tempting.
I wish I had Google Fiber down in Miami. Man,
I tell you what, $70 a month for internet, 110 or whatever it is for internet and TV, and it's gigabit up and down. Dude, I don't even know what I would do with it, but it'd be nice.
Yeah, the net speeds alone. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just worried about people setting up data centers and whatnot, you know, in the residence and selling, you know, their bandwidth. Right.
But I bet
like you said, what are you going to do with a gig up and down? The normal average person isn't going to use all that, but, you know, you can throw a few hefty servers in there and really get things going. So I think it's just a CYA type thing.
Well, so they're using really broad terms, and that's the thing I have an issue with, is they're following the status quo there and using really broad terms instead of saying
force it. But like, are they really
going? They may not right now.
Filters in place? Are they closing out ports? Are they? Yeah.
They could just shut off your internet. I mean, that's the common the common thing that could happen is, oh, we see you've used, like, oh, I don't know, a ton of data, and it's always, you know, being served. Let's say it looks like you're serving a website. No. Because they search the internet for everything. So if you're serving anything that's public, they'll find out. I mean, they track back to your IP address, and they're in charge of the IP address and crawling the web. They'll know. So it's just
be careful about putting your hands in.
You'll be surfing the internet
exactly,
waiting for YouTube still to buffer even with a gig down, because it will continue to buffer, and then the internet will just shut down, and they'll be like, what happened to my internet? And then you
were serving stuff.
And then you can call Comcast, and you can get internet with them, and then they'll still shut you down. Anyway.
Yep. Pretty much. It's the common thing to do.
Oh, hate you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Got to pay for that business account.
Yep. So it looks like Chromecast, if you guys haven't heard of what this thing is, it's an HDMI dongle that is USB powered, which most new TVs have USB ports right near the HDMI ports. So it's essentially a way to create a TV that is self-sufficient and has a way of displaying stuff. I just had a big stuff. Brain fart. It lets you control what's being shown on the TV through the Chromecast through any Chrome browser or a specific app. So if you're on Windows, you can take something from the Chrome tab and throw it to your TV. The good thing here is if it's been optimized for Chromecast, it's not screen mirroring. It literally throws that content to the TV, and the TV knows what to do with it. Instead of an Apple TV or other screen mirroring technology, it doesn't just serve the data from your phone or tablet or computer. It totally knows what to do with it on the USB or the HDMI dongle itself. Or if it's not smart enough, it will mirror it from your serving device.
So I actually, Google was very nice and sent us one of these, and I got it in the mail yesterday.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, hey, you have, friends at Google.
Yeah,
anyway, but look, so listen, so I am an Apple guy, and I think that's pretty clear, and I get a lot of hate for that. But anyways, I've always thought that the Apple TV has always been lackluster. And so playing with the Chromecast, with the exception that it's very limited right now to just Netflix, Google Play, and YouTube, aside from, you know, obviously if you have a Chrome browser, you can throw content up there. But if you really want the native apps, Netflix, YouTube, it runs really, really well, and it runs amazingly. And the fact that you don't have to have cables all over the place, it's something that just literally hides behind your TV and the HDMI, it makes it so nice and neat and pretty. And, I mean, this is really, like, the future of – this is what Google TV should have been like a while back when they released that terrible box thing.
Well,
that
– the only – everybody keeps relating it to Google TV, but the biggest issue I have with that argument and is that Google TV wasn't meant as just a pull stuff from one place and throw it on the TV. It was meant as a mediator between you and your crappy interface on your cable box or satellite box. And that's what it did decently well. I will say it needed to improve, but everybody keeps saying, you know, why wasn't this Google TV? Well, Google TV was technically aimed at something completely different. I think it could have been handled better, but it wasn't the same product. In fact, there's been releases or there's been hints toward Google TV, I think as of today, getting updated to have Chromecast. Now, I'm on a Logitech review, so that's probably not happening for me ever because it hasn't been updated in like 2 years. So not me, but evidently the most recent ones will get Chromecast built into Google TV.
When did the last Google TV box come out?
Well, actually, there are TVs that are technically running Google TV right now being released.
That is true.
LG has some. Outside of that, the Vizio CoStar came out probably 6 months, maybe 8 months ago.
Okay.
There was one from Sony, and then there was, I think there's one other major like standalone box. But there are plenty of other TVs that are still technically Google TV, but they don't look like the standard Google TV interface.
I have a question, and I know this sort of relates to the Chromecast, and I want to hear what you guys think of this. And I was reading, and I've seen this various places on the internet at this point, and it's like a lot of it seems like, you know, the Chromecast is running a version of Android. It's still Android, but it's a very limited version of Android, but it's Android. So, but Google makes note that they don't mention that it's running Android ever at all. You know, it's Chrome. It is branded as Chrome. And some people were insisting that maybe Google was shying away from the whole Android and going towards Chrome. What are your thoughts? Yeah, I see your face, and I want to hear what you think of that. Okay.
Heck no. That was on a, and it's nothing personal to you. I know you're an Apple fan, but it was written by, what was it?
It was 9to5 or Apple Insider. They had it.
It was Apple Insider, I think.
Yeah.
It was completely, maybe not Apple Insider. It wasn't 9to5 Mac, but it was a Mac biased website, which is fine. I mean, that's their market, but it was nowhere near, what I would call, unbiased. I don't know how else to say that. They were taking things way out of context. Like, how would you even say that Google's leaning away from Android when they put out, I don't even remember the last numbers, but it's ungodly numbers every month that are getting activated. Like, why would you even pull away from that? Like, there's no way.
And even
that points towards it.
Even earlier today, they Google announced that the amount of apps downloaded on Google Play the last quarter or whatever surpassed Apple's App Store. So, like, it's growing substantially, and that's really, really good. No matter how biased I am, you have to face the numbers and the facts, and they're obviously there. So
I
don't see
what they're doing here is Google and Android, as far as the normal public, not us tech nerds who know that they're the same thing, there's like a disconnect. They don't associate Android with Google, but Google Chrome is Google Chrome, and Google wants them to know that, hey, this is our Google product, this is Chrome. Yes, it's running Android, but I think it's just a way of them branding it and letting them know that this is Google. This isn't somebody making something for Android. This isn't a third-party hardware. This is Google hardware.
Right.
So they're putting the
Chrome name brand on it. It's almost like the Nexus device. Yeah. If you look at the underlying architecture, I think they're labeling it as the API as Google Cast, not even Chromecast. So I think part of it's what you're saying, Zavito, but part of it, honestly, I think they're just meeting a demand, because I have spent the last 3 months trying to find a way for my Android devices and my wife's phone, which is iOS, to stream audio to my home theater. And by golly, there is not a lot of good apps that they're all AirPlay compatible, but they suck. They're horrible. There's no good app that I've found. I haven't paid for one yet because I haven't gotten the free one to work properly, and I'm not about to fork out $3 to find out it doesn't work still. But there's one that promises it, and it works for about 30 seconds, and then it craps out on me. And it actually will take your, if you're on a rooted phone, that's the one caveat, it will take your internal audio, whatever you're listening to, and pump it through iTunes or AirPlay. Dang it. it'll pump it through AirPlay.
One of those
so
things.
You can, anything you're listening to, whether it's a YouTube video, it doesn't matter, Pandora, because you have root access, it takes that audio stream and sends it to AirPlay. There's like a 10-second delay, not a huge issue for audio, but I haven't found a video option, something like YouTube, where on an iOS device you can throw that to the TV and do screen mirroring until Chromecast comes out. And now any app, because it's an open API, can be created and made to work with that. And it doesn't, they don't care what device it's on, from what I've gathered. They don't care. So that's probably going to answer my want/need for
the ultimate selling point is $35.
Yep.
Exactly.
It does all of this stuff, and it's $35.
Yep. So even if you don't like it after you buy it, it's $35. Right. You know, so
yeah.
First world problems and all, but
Right.
Yeah. It's a nice meal that you missed out on.
Wow.
Or it's, you know, a piece of hardware that you use.
That's
for
an expensive meal, by
a couple
the way.
Years.
So
there's
that's
so
what I said, a nice
that,
meal out.
Yeah. There are so many people that would
nice
want it.
Meal.
You could probably just turn around and sell it on
for
eBay
two.
And make all of your money. So
yep.
It's fine.
Yeah. $34.99. You still people buy.
So I think it's a good thing. I don't know if it's going to be a huge competitor to those two. I have no idea. I hope it is, because it's $35 and it does everything that, let me rephrase
that.
It does everything
to
the Roku could do.
The Roku.
The Apple TV is a slightly different market because of the ecosystem it's in. You can't necessarily take
your
iTunes media. Yeah.
And so
it's
because
a little different.
Yeah. Yep. It's an ecosystem that if you don't have an Apple product. Well, it's not going to work, period. So,
right. You know, well, technically, if they're stored on your if it's your music, there's a workaround because it's going to be an MP3s unless you bought your music 5 or 6 years ago before the Switch. But if it's like video and everything you bought in iTunes, you're out of luck unless somebody finds. Well, I guess if you jailbreak your iPhone, somebody could probably make it work. But out of the box, average users, it isn't going to happen. They'll have the experience I'm having trying to get AirPlay to work on an Android device. So. Good luck. So I would say it's more of a competitor to Roku, and most of what Apple TV is used for that I see in the home. I install TVs for a living, and most of the time you get Apple TV, it is for YouTube streaming pictures and occasionally screen mirroring, but Netflix is probably the biggest.
That is what I use my Apple TV for.
I mean, most people that I see buy one is because they're already in the Apple ecosystem and they want a way to do Netflix. So the Apple ecosystem is kind of like a, that's why I bought the Apple TV, but I really just wanted something to stream Netflix. So that's mostly what I see. So
expensive way to stream Netflix. I mean, if you're going to buy
It's only 100 bucks.
In the iTunes store. Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, Apple TV is only 100 bucks.
Price as the Roku. I thought it was
The Roku's still cheaper now. It's like 79. So
yeah, but nobody, a lot of people don't know that the Roku exists.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have Google, Apple, big names, Roku, you know, unless you're a tech geek or do your research, you're not going to know what that is.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But hopefully for $35, the word will get out and people will go, oh, that little thing that just plugs into your TV and works and it doesn't need a power supply. So literally, I don't have satellite in my house anymore. I could, in theory, grab a Chromecast, plug it into the TV, and then not have to worry about plugging anything else if I wanted to mount it over a fireplace, in theory. Now, I'm going to have speakers and everything else, so that's a whole other issue. That's actually something else I wanted to bring up, was the possibility of somebody creating a third-party HDMI in that broadcasts to a Chromecast. So you could actually do wireless video that way also, but all using one device into the TV. That would be... a game changer might be the right word if they can get something other than 720p, which is, I think, the highest video compression that they have. The highest compression they have right now is 720p. If they can get it up to 1080 and you can do – somebody can create a dongle that's HDMI in, plug it into a cable box or an Xbox or something, and you don't have to have wires between the TV and the device, and it's reliable, that would be fantastic. There are wireless HDMI boxes, but they, trust me, are poo. They're poo. I've installed plenty, and they are a last resort. You have no way to run wires at all, and you don't want to see any wires. Here's your solution, but be prepared to reset it every couple weeks. Like, it's just, it's not great.
Yep.
So.
And also, one completely off topic, but related to the Chromecast, Google likes to have fun. Have you guys seen what the model number for the device is?
That was fantastic, by the way.
Yes.
Oh, it's so good. It's a reference to...
H2G242.
Yeah, so that's Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy 42. And then the other one is MST3K, Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Mm-hmm. I love Google.
It's fantastic.
They have won me over because of that. So.
So they're saying that the Chromecast is the answer to life, the universe, and everything.
Yes, it is. Point blank.
Evidently.
Nothing will be better than this.
Or that might be the power supply is the answer to life, the universe, and everything, and the Chromecast itself is actually just like Mystery Science Theater 3000. Like, meh.
It's just making fun of everything that you stream to it.
Yes, exactly. And then I assume that this next thing is the Tile Bluetooth thing for iOS only, so somebody else can talk about that because I don't want to talk about iOS only. I'm just kidding.
I can talk about that if you like.
Yeah, go for it. I know about it, but I haven't looked enough. I haven't looked up enough.
Yeah. So there's this really cool little gadget that's coming out called a Tile, and it's like a really little wireless white block that is as thick as like 4 credit cards and even has a keychain holder so you can attach it to your keychain. And pretty much what it is, and I wrote a review on this a while back, it is a it has a built-in GPS, the GPS chip into it that connects to your iOS device, iPad, iPhone, iPod Touch. You download the app, and pretty much what it lets you do is track anything, items that you may have lost or have misplaced, and you can actually track it down and find it. And the iPhone app pretty much sort of gives you like this radar-looking thingy on it on the app, and as you move around the vicinity, it uses Bluetooth to track down where your device is. And the closer you get, the louder it beeps. Sort of a you're getting colder, you're getting warmer type of situation. Now, that being said, that's really cool and all, but the coolest part to this device is, let's say, I don't know, you have one of these things attached to your computer. They use that example in the video. And you have it attached to your, you have it stuck to the computer, and you lose your computer, gets stolen, misplaced, and the person who steals it is pretty dumb and doesn't remove the little thingy from it, and it's still attached. You can go onto your iOS app, report the item stolen, and now this is going to send a ping to the Tile database to inform it that this item is misplaced. As soon as this Tile chip comes into reach of other Tile users, it will notify the database and notify you, the owner, and provide you with a GPS location of where the product is. So you can go get it or report it or whatever you want to do. That to me was probably the coolest little feature. These little things are right now available for pre-order. They don't come out till the winter. They're available for $18.95. You can control up to 12 of them per device, which will round you about $170. But I mean, what do you guys think of this? I mean, it's kind of a little cool GPS thing.
Yeah, actually, I vaguely remember when they started the Kickstarter campaign or Indiegogo or whatever crowdsourcing website they used or service they used. And it outside of the iOS-only thing, it actually sounds really, really cool. I don't remember the database multi-pinging, like crowdsourcing, finding your lost devices. That is actually a really cool feature if a lot of them get purchased. So that's
the catch.
That's completely, yeah, it's kind of like those GPSs that came out in 2007 or so called like the Blackbird, I think is what they were called. And it basically was doing what Waze was doing, where each GPS was reporting back to their database current speeds. So if you have a whole bunch of them in a city, you literally got live updates on your GPS. Smartphones have taken up since then, and it probably died. I haven't kept up with it, but it was essentially the same thing where they all crowdsource, help you find bad congestion and everything else. But in this case, we're talking about finding your lost devices. And I think they use a bike as an option also, probably a little easier to hide a little square tile on a bike than it would be on a laptop. I didn't realize they were iOS only though. And that's until, you know, this week when I saw you guys post about it on AWPA. That's kind of frustrating. Hopefully they'll fix that. The one thing I did notice that people should keep in mind, read the full fine print, but they know you don't have to replace batteries, but they only last, I think, a year.
So yes, they do. They only last a year.
After a certain period of time. So yeah. they're pre-configured with a battery, and they've, I guess, because it only does one thing, they know how long the battery is going to last. But it does only last a year. So that $20 is a yearly fee, essentially, to keep using their service.
Pretty much. Now, assuming you know how many you buy, because if you have 12 of them,
right,
that's $200 every year. So
yeah, so that's a $20 per year service fee per item, essentially.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
when you think about it that way, though, it's not that big a deal. I mean, people pay $50 a year to back up their data. Why not pay the same thing to back up, you know, or not back up, locate your bike if you live in a city, or the keys? Man, it sounds great, except the $20 a year. I wish there was a way to do wireless charging on it. So if it was your keys, you literally could drop your keys on a charger and it wasn't a big deal. I understand like the bike and everything else. There's no way you're going to plug your bike in at night. So I understand those. I hope that maybe second gen.
I want to plug my bike in.
Right. Maybe second gen. They'll come out with a key charging. Well, that's dumb. I just said wireless key charging for your keys. You guys know what I'm talking about? The wireless charging. I think it's pronounced
key.
Key
charging key.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. It's like a key inception. So hopefully they'll come out with some kind of wireless charging for the ones you keep with you at all times, like a set of keys or a remote, something along those lines. Anyway, I think that's – does anybody else have any thoughts on that thing? Anybody else looked at it previously? Because it actually really is pretty neat.
So when one of the tiles gets exhausted from battery power, and we're just kind of wrapping that up there, when one happens to exhaust and you're paying in this monthly fee into it, or not monthly fee, what is it, $20 a year? Like we're just talking
well,
about?
It's, well, it's $20 per item, and they last a year. So it equates out to essentially a service fee, but it's actually per tile device. It's $18.95 per year because they only last 1 year.
So will you not get a replacement then, or will you have to be forced into actually buying another one then?
You will have to buy
a new one. Oh, you buy a new one. Yeah, buy a new one.
So what's the environmental impact of this? I mean, there's a lot of plastic and batteries and electronics.
Listen, Azevedo. Actually, I think they have something.
I mean, do they have a recycling program?
I think they do have a way to send it back.
Now you have me intrigued.
Credit probably not, but I think they actually do have a thing that says, "Hey, send it back and you know order a new one." But I don't think it's like you get $5 off.
Cartridge things you buy and it comes with a little envelope for you to send it back so they can recycle your old one, something like that.
Sure. The sad part is it's just a battery, so these things have to have some kind of battery that you can probably replace, and they're just going to charge you $20 for the hassle of taking it in, pulling it apart, putting the new battery in, and you know making sure it looks pretty and sending it to somebody else.
If you are semi intelligent, you can replace a battery on any Apple product. Anyways, I didn't say that. I'm just looking at their website very quickly because I was intrigued. And they do have a recycling program where you send it back in. And the way it works is that before the year is up, they'll actually remind you that your tile is running out so you can order a new one. And it is waterproof, which I didn't know that earlier, but it is waterproof.
Well, that's because you can't replace the battery. It's completely sealed. So it's one of the advantages, yes.
Yeah.
But, man.
Can't replace the battery, but it's airtight and watertight.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You can put it on your scuba equipment and not have to worry about losing that.
So if you like attach one to your phone and drop it in the ocean and you find it, is it that good?
It's 100 feet. That's how far. I mean, it's whatever the range Bluetooth gives you. They say 100 feet in the website, 100 to 150 feet.
Well, wow. This is going to get really nerdy, but I think radio waves travel further in water than they do across land,
so,
especially through
you
buildings.
Know,
so you might get further distance underwater.
Your phone is going to be a dead weight, but
you can at least recover.
What if you drop your keys in the?
There you go.
Well, don't
we have a bay?
Put on your scuba gear. Grab your Galaxy S4 Active. It's iOS only. Never mind.
Buy yourself a LifeProof case, and as soon as you put it on and go into water, it's going to leak, and then. Yeah, they're terrible. They're pretty bad.
You can put those in a bag and just make sure you open the app first, because once you're underwater, the waterproof coverings don't let you control them.
You can't do anything.
Yeah, so open up the app first, put it in a waterproof bag, and then go diving to go find your keys 100 feet underwater.
This sounds very complicated.
Yes, I think I would have a spare set of keys or keep my keys on those little floaty things.
You would have to have a spare phone. You would have to have your phone and then assume that this is going to happen. Oh, let me pre-think that I may lose my keys in the ocean. Like, this is too much preparation. Nobody has ever this prepared.
Oh, man. Nah. Except Boy Scouts. All right.
This is terrible, okay?
I've seen similar type of doodads or whatever that actually happen to do like a ping location or whatever, mainly used for like college students to actually attach to their laptops or Kindle devices or e-readers, basically essentially for class, so that way if they do happen to get lost or stolen, they can actually happen to trace them back. But the thing that I'm happening to notice is every single year at I just forgot the Hackers Development Conference.
Black Hat?
It's Black Hat, yeah, the Black Hat conference every single year for hackers. But it's got an official name, and I can't remember the name of the conference, but that's not it. One of the biggest things, though, that's been brought up almost every single year is with Bluetooth technologies or this type of pinging location, you're having to fall into securities being a majorly big issue. You know, do we happen to know how secure?
Oh,
Evidently, oh, no. The hackers don't want Slater talking about this.
oh, he's back.
Nice. Are we?
What's going on? What is going on?
Okay, you're back.
Let me rephrase that because it was kind of derping out. Yeah. So my biggest thing, though, is wireless-type features or wireless-type pinging locations like this tile does. Is it on Bluetooth, do we happen to know, or is it using something completely different for notifications? And the other thing, too, is these type of securities, especially on Bluetooth anyways, and I'm not saying this either is or it isn't, but if it is kind of a Bluetooth ping notification for you to actually find your device or object or whatever, how secure is that security? Because I'm noticing with the developer, the hackers conference every single year, that type of security is really flawed.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and jump out and say I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. from what I understand, basically the Bluetooth thing, the pairing is only to register your device initially. So my assumption here is once your device is registered, it talks to your phone to give you distance, but not any of your personal info. And if you ever mark it as lost, which I'm hoping you do as soon as you realize it's lost, as soon as it is within range of another tile device, it then pings through the other tile device your phone. So you would, man, it really depends on how many people are near it, but I would assume that there's some way to break into it. There always will be. That's just how technology is. The security is always catching up with people that are, man, I don't know how to phrase that properly. Hackers are typically going to be ahead of security. That's part of it. I mean, maybe security will be ahead of them for a little bit, but they're always going to get ahead further, and then the security will catch up when they tell them that they're ahead. Because there's no way for it to be perfectly secure. But I don't think you're going to be losing any personal data. If you're worried about that, they'll just rip the tile off anyway. I mean, you don't have to. If you're worried about losing your device and whether or not they can crack the encryption, they just rip the tile off and throw it away. Like there's a much more low tech solution to keeping your device and not being alerted that it's where it is. They just take the tile off. So this is kind of this isn't I lost my Ferrari. This is I lost my keys and would like to know where they are.
If it is a Ferrari, you got problems.
Right, right, and you're not using a tile to find it. So, speaking of Ferraris.
Science! That's right, speaking of Ferraris, science!
What?
This is happening.
That was a terrible segue. Man. What just happened?
Oh, man.
I don't know. Budlong set me up for a terrible segue, and I couldn't do anything with it.
It's Acevedo's. I've got nothing.
All right, so Sir Ian Wilmot, who famously cloned a sheep named Dolly back in the day, is considering recreating a woolly mammoth. Because in recent news, you heard about, I'm sure, this whole, that sounds like a weird way to say it, an entire woolly mammoth, perfectly preserved in the ice, a baby woolly mammoth. So they have DNA from bone marrow and all kinds of good stuff, and this guy wants to basically take the DNA from the bone marrow, mix it in with some stem cells, and implant an embryo in an elephant and bring back woolly mammoths. We're going all Jurassic Park.
What could go wrong here?
Let me tell you why they're
possibly go wrong.
Let me tell you why they're going to do this, because they can. That's why.
Yes.
Heck yeah.
Simply said. Well, yeah. I mean, this doesn't sound like a terrible idea at all.
I we'll see how it works out.
What could possibly go wrong?
I didn't see your sarcasm sign.
The only thing he's worried
sign.
About is like, it's like he's like, well, you know, elephants these days live in warm climates, and you know, woolly mammoths they live in icy client such as Siberia, so you know, raising an elephant here.
I mean, it's
climate,
kind of a
problem.
It's a cool idea, like really is. Like, I mean,
heck yes.
I'm a science dork, so like things like this make me really excited. But like, I mean, this is as terrible as idea as the guy who's building the Titanic too. I mean, it's just like it's gonna be a really bad
Titanic
idea.
Titanic too. Did we not learn anything from Jurassic Park, people?
Right?
Well, I was going to say, Jurassic Park technically is a worse idea. You've got well, yeah. dinosaurs, which we don't have anything directly related to them in size.
Dinosaurs and a terrible security system.
So, yes.
You know, clearly.
And Jeff Goldblum.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with Jeff Goldblum. There's nothing wrong with Jeff Goldblum.
There's nothing wrong with Jeff Goldblum.
I think they got
water on a leaf.
No, everybody at a Wild Podcast up here has a really weird obsession with Jeff Goldblum, if you listen to any of our shows. I don't know why. I wish I could give you an answer, but I don't know.
Is a tangent. It's a tangent, but does anybody watch... I can't think of their name. Oh, never mind. Dang it. It's a show on USA about lawyers, and it seems like it's going to be really bad, but it has Zach from Saved by the Bell. Franklin and Bash. There we go. Has anybody seen this show?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never even heard of it.
The first time I've heard of it.
It's actually pretty funny.
But
they have a random obsession with Rob Lowe, and I don't know why. Like they pretend like they live next to him. I mean, obviously they don't. It's to show, but in the show they live next to Rob Lowe. He's never on the show, but they always mention him, like, oh yeah, we saw Rob Lowe the other day, you know, walking his dog. And then it turns into like some animosity, like they accidentally take his couch because they thought it was out by the road being thrown away, but he was actually letting it dry, so they accidentally stole his couch, and it's some like really expensive couch. So anyway, it turns into some like enemy fighting each other thing, but it just reminded me of that, like, we're not really sure why, but Rob Lowe comes up all the time.
This tangent brought to you by Jeff Goldblum and Rob Lowe.
And that guy from Saved by the Bell. I can't remember his name because it's weird.
Zach.
Zach Morris.
No, but his real name. His real name is strange. Yeah, it's like it's a three-name type deal.
Yeah.
Anywho. Slater, I think.
Anywho. Science. Try and bring back mammoths. Good idea, science. Let's do this. Go for it.
Heck yeah.
I'm in. I want to see. I want to
Let's
go
do
see
it, guys. Let's go do it right now. We'll do it. Screw these people.
Yeah, for real. How do we get our hands on some mammoth DNA?
Yeah.
Can you do that?
No.
You got a Chromecast. You got connections and
yeah. Let me call Google and see if they can get me a woolly mammoth.
I bet they have some laying around somewhere.
Some mammoth DNA.
Yes, Google. I need a woolly mammoth. Thank you. it'll be here tomorrow. USPS first class.
All right.
I don't know what just happened there.
It'd be cool if you
Matthew
did.
McConaughey. Oh, man. Wow.
Jesus. Go ahead, Slater. We're done talking about mammoth.
Sounds like a plan to me. So for those of you who happen to be, I don't know, of the cartoon persuasion, My Little Pony and whatnot. Maybe you out there, listeners or otherwise, may still be watching Toonami on Cartoon Network. If you are, then you probably already know this news, but if you don't or haven't been caught up, like I have, this is completely new, but I happen to follow Steve Bloom, who is a notable voice actor for X-Men, did Wolverine, and did the voice of Spike Spiegel on Cowboy Bebop, which was also on Toonami, and he happened to pre-break the announcement that Sword Art Online, a really great anime, is now picked up and licensed over on Toonami. Sword Art Online is predominantly licensed by Aniplex, so Toonami having an Aniplex anime is really freaking awesome. Aniplex puts out really great stuff. So during kind of the intermission time, I had a short trailer kind of giving the synopsis. Short summary of what Sword Art Online basically is. So it's kind of a recap. Bunch of people buy this online MMO game. They log in. They have this system called Nerve Gear. So what they basically do in the game, they can essentially... audio just messed up. My bad. So essentially what they basically do in the MMO, in the actual game, they can actually feel themselves. It feels like real life. You can kiss and make out and sword fight and swim and drown and everything you feel in the game, you essentially feel. So, anywho, millions of people around Japan log into this massively multiplayer online video game called Sword Art Online. heavily fantasy game. But once they get in, the creator of the game basically makes a announcement to everybody playing the game, hey, you're in the game, it's great that you're here. Unfortunately, I want to go ahead and let you know some ground rules, you can't log out. You try to forcibly log out by trying to remove your nerve gear or having somebody in the real life take off your nerve gear. The gear itself will basically fry your brain from the inside out, and you're basically going to die. Oh, another thing, too, if you die in the game, you die in real life, too. So in order to beat the game, you have to go through, I think it's like 90-something floors in this huge castle that's a tower, essentially, and you have to eventually beat the last boss. It's a real great anime. Go ahead and watch it. It's on Toonami, I believe, Saturdays at 2 o'clock in the morning. So check it out. Not quite sure if it follows Bleach or whatnot, but it's pretty interesting. I know that there's a Japanese manga of it that follows pretty closely to the storyline, and there's like two or three seasons I know of right now for Sword Art Online. So there's Sword Art Online, a secondary season, and then right now it's rumored that a season 3 is going to be animated, which is based off of the light novels, which is basically just text-based novels. There's really no pictures like an actual manga or a comic book is. But they're looking in order to take these texts that the creator has written about Sword Art Online and the other games that Kirito and the other characters basically play in real life, and thinking about animating those. So it's kind of interesting. So we'd definitely check that out. Also, if you're a... lost my train of thought here. If you're with GameStop.com and you happen to pick up and buy video games through GameStop, you're probably more than likely a Power Up Rewards member, and you probably get the Fancy Dancy Game Informer every single month. If you happen to pick up the latest one, which I hope you did, issue number 244, would like to go ahead and point you to the E3 coverage that was actually in issue 244, notably on page 21 and 22. Reason being, well, it just so happens that for millions and millions of people around the world who actually have been dying for another Kingdom Hearts continuing game to come out, Kingdom Hearts 3 is confirmed. It is actually going to be on the way. A video was showing Sora's Keyblade basically in the ground in kind of a beachfront setting, and everybody's going, oh god, it's Kingdom Hearts 3, like we're actually going to get this. The article on Game Informer happens to state, though, that although this will end the story, so to speak, it will not be ending the franchise. Duh. You know, it's that big of
makes
a franchise.
Makes too much money.
There's no... Yeah, there's no reason why you would end something like that. And Disney has way too much backing into this.
Money printing machine.
Right. Exactly. That'd be like Microsoft going, Halo? Nah, we're kind of
done. Let's just let that die. I'm not worried about it anymore. Zelda? Everybody's tired of Zelda, right?
Nintendo's like, Mario? He's so 1980s.
Nobody cares about Mario anymore.
Listen.
I'll tell you this much in terms of Kingdom Hearts. Next week at the Expo, they have some big announcements relating to Kingdom Hearts. So I don't know what that is, but stay tuned. I may or may not know what it is.
You don't, but we will know soon.
Okay, anyway.
There may or may not be NDAs involved. So I feel like Leo Laporte before he went to the Google conference thing.
Anyway. See, you go to mention Leo Laporte and they cut you off.
This is what you get for mentioning this guy. Come on.
Mentioning another podcast. How dare you?
How dare you?
Yeah. I know.
They are not part of this network. They are not allowed to mention. That will be bleeped out.
The TWIT.
If we were a part of that network, I would be more than okay with that.
We listen to that Leo.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness. All right.
Besides Kingdom Hearts 3, though, we've also been finally confirmed on Final Fantasy 13 Versus, or Versus 13. However, Square Enix has finally confirmed the fact that it's not going to be called Final Fantasy Versus 13. It is now considered to be called FFXV. I don't even know what the heck that is. But 15. Sure. Yeah. Oh, okay.
15, 14.
My bad. I'm bad with numerals. Roman numerals.
They jumped names. The jump numbers. Oh.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Oh. And it's not even final. It's not even FFV XV. I guess that would get way too confusing.
Yeah.
You confused me just now.
Final Fantasy Versus and then X 13 or 14 at this point.
XV.
Then it would be FFX. IV. Oh my gosh, I'm done. Maybe that's why they changed names.
They should just make them numbers.
What? Versus, folks. Versus. If you go to GameStop and you want to go ahead and reserve Versus, go ahead reserve Versus. Would like to let everybody know though that the game, which was intended to be released on PlayStation 3, will be no more. It will only be exclusive to the PlayStation 4. So, if you have your reservations with the PlayStation 4, you also want to reserve Final Fantasy Versus. So it is finally coming. Your answers, prayers, and your screaming at Square Enix to basically say, hey, you guys were originally going to kill this game? Like, bring it. Like, why would you kill a Final Fantasy franchise like this? You know, bring it out. The people demand and want that. Speaking of, we still demand and want Square Enix to do a Final Fantasy VII, not necessarily remake. We want you to kind of, like, redo everything on Final Fantasy VII. Like, bring it to us.
You don't count Bloodlong.
Yes, I do. I speak for the masses. No, we don't want another Final Fantasy VII. Unless you sell it as a sleep aid, and then I'd be okay with that.
Aw.
Punchy.
Aw. I wish I had the sound clip from Fletcher. Anyway. I think that's it for the news. Does anybody else have anything they need to touch on for news?
No.
Awesome. Well, I think that has basically been episode 25. We would like, again, to thank Jose for coming on. You can find him at awildpodcastappears.com or awpa.co if you are lazy and don't like to type, or on Twitter at KryptonLogic. You can reach us at GeekIOShow. That's twitter.com/GeekIOShow, facebook.com/GeekIOShow. You can check out our site at geek-io.com for all of our show notes, archives, all of that good stuff. And you can send us feedback at feedback@geek-io.com. I messed it up again. That was a weird sentence. That was a dumb sentence. You can send us feedback@geek-io.com. Let's be as confusing as possible.
You can give us your insight into feedback@geek-io.com.
No, I want it to be as confusing as possible. Oh, man.
You can feed the feedback.
Speaking of feedback, we're going to continue to get to know our Geek.io family, folks. Our newest show host, Sakani of BGM, is going to be on the next Geek.io. For those who don't know what BGM is, he brings you the biggest and best audio tunes from the video games that you're passionate about. So stuff like Final Fantasy VII, Sonic, you name it, he does the audio. Well, at least he doesn't do the audio, but he brings the soundtracks to your ears, hopefully through your tweaked audio earbuds, which sounds so good. Yeah.
Wow.
GeekIO.com/tweaked.
That was a blatant plug.
That's how we roll around.
We don't know what you're referring to,
sir. We don't like subtlety. Subtleties for the weak. But hey, speaking of geek-io.com, you can go over there, and we are currently surveying our listeners to learn more about you. So please take a few minutes to visit our website. Click on the survey link. It's in the show notes. And take a few minutes, seconds, whatever you got to spare. We appreciate it. Please fill them out. Thank you. We love you.
Geek.io is a proud member of the AWPA network at awildpodcastappears.com, along with awildpodcastappers. Wow. A Wild Podcast Appears with Jose Castillo and Retro Collective with PJ Stanton.
Aw, yeah. Well, hey guys, do you know what time it is? It's time for the Summer Movie Smackdown update. Fight. So, week 14 notes. The movie with the big blue people comes out tonight for Rachel. I have no idea what movie that is, but sure.
Smurfs. And they're tiny.
Oh, that's right.
I thought we were talking about Avatar for a second. I'm like,
yeah, I was really confused.
Totally. Thanks, CJ. Grown Ups 2 ended its run, earning as a video $11.7 million in total.
Baby.
Wow, are you freaking nuts?
At least I got one buy, right?
Wow, people.
I don't think it's going to be
enough. Like Adam Sandler movies that much.
I told you. Told you.
Yeah. Totally did. Cars for Snails ends its two-week run tonight.
Stands That's Turbo, Flip. By the way.
This is Turbo, yes, for those who don't know. First place, you got Jared Budlong at $26.5 million. Woo! Second place, Dale Campbell, really racking it up there at $18.6 million. Acevedo's in third with $16.0 million. Slater, myself, is at $12 million. I probably shouldn't have bid $50 into Iron Man 3, but hey, that was my fault. Fifth place was Rachel Boat at $11.8 million. And then, according to golf rules, because CJ's the boss, he's winning this thing at sixth place at $10.5
million.
Oh, man. Yeah, golf rules. Sure. Sure.
Of course,
this week, coming up on the Geek.io Network, Down Under Colorado discusses magically appearing KFC buckets. How it stacks is hard to kill while above the law and under siege. That's a reference to Steven Seagal.
There.
Yeah, yeah. And his band,
there.
By the way. If you didn't know that existed.
He has a band?
Dude.
What?
Check
Are
that
you
junk
serious?
Out.
Oh my goodness.
It's, go listen to the show and also check it out.
Brain.
Yeah. Steven Seagal has been stacked and will be ready to please your ears next Tuesday. The next episode, the crew is stacking a multitude of colors that morph and combine. Is the pink one truly a girl? Is the blue one too nerdy to fight to find a girlfriend? And why do they call the Dark Ranger the Black Ranger? What's up with that? Power Rangers coming up on the next episode after Steven Seagal is released.
That's so weird. Hey, do you guys think that we could sound or look better? Probably. Going over to geek-io.com/tipjar to donate some of that much-needed geek love to the show. I really appreciate it. If you donate $5 or more to the show, we will give you a shout-out and read anything you want us to read at the top of the show. Absolutely anything. Anything. Helps give a plug to you, or if you just want to be silly, and it helps keep the lights on here at the show. Totally does.
I'm gonna donate $5 so I can plug my website.
Yes.
That sounds like a plan.
That sounds good.
What website was that?
I forgot. What website is it?
No, he has to donate $5.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Don't be giving that stuff away. Come on.
So it's not the one we already mentioned 10 times?
It's not that one.
Oh, it is that one.
Well, hey, if you don't remember, give that $5.
Just in case.
Yeah, just in case. Well, we can be heard on Stitcher Radio as well as iTunes, so be sure to leave us an honest review, and we will gladly rate it on the show.
Five words of thought, if anybody has any. Talkie-talkie.
I had fun, guys. I want to come back on the show. I hope CJ invites me back.
Please do.
I hope so, and I hope CJ's here the next time.
Listen, in defense, I have nothing to do on Wednesday or Thursday nights.
Heck yes, hang on.
So,
I just want to point something out real quick. I haven't seen Jose and CJ at the same time.
Ah. Guys, I have something to tell you. I am CJ.
You're fired.
I knew it.
I started himself. AWPA so I could fire you guys and never have to talk to you again.
This is the last show. I'm kidding.
Bye, everybody. Yeah. You're all fired. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of being fired, I think that's it for us. Y'all have a great night. I'm really bad at segues.
Are terrible. Okay.
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
we pride ourselves in our terrible segues.
I'm practicing. Good night, everybody.
You have been listening to a part of the Geek.io Podcast Network.
Loud noises!
Copyright 2013.
Visit us at geek-io.com for all of our great shows.
The pressure is building slowly, inexorably inside me. Oh my.
Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's bad for you. Go figure out how it works.
I want to get out of here. I want to leave this place right now.
Creepy, you know, it creeps the hell out of me, to tell you the truth.
Wake up, slut!
That was excellent uses of the Dirty Work clips. I like that.
I know.
You didn't count on my loyal army of prostitutes, did you?
Oh my!
Have you guys, have you guys heard Batman in Casablanca?
What?
You guys haven't heard? Yeah, oh, this is good.
I saw that.
This is good.
Play it, Sam. Play as time goes by.
Oh, I can't remember it myself. I'm a little rusty.
I'll hum it for you. No. No.
What the heck?
I have no idea what just happened.
I'm not sure either.
So what happened to CJ?
I don't know.
He was running late.
He what?
He had to work late.
He was running late.
Yeah,
he had to work late. He was still in the car.
Well, he was working.
Supposed to be on the show at all?
He was going to try and be on.